because Christ is life, that means to die is gain. Woo! To die is gain. Notice, to die is to actually be with Christ. So the ultimate goal of our entire existence is the hope of glory. To live as Christ, to die is gain.
Hello and welcome back, friends. We are continuing on in our series here on Living the Light in the book of Philippians today, a series we've called Citizens of Heaven. And today we come to a passage that is so encouraging. It's a word for you today if you're struggling in this life, if you're feeling as though hope is slipping from your fingers and maybe even just needing some perspective. The perspective of looking at Jesus Christ. Paul understood this struggle well, and his words walk us through what a life looks like lived in the midst of struggle. He shows us that, in fact, that a life well lived for the glory of the Lord, well, it's an amazing life. So wherever you are and whatever you're going through, this message is an important one for you to hear. Let's jump right into today's text and join up with Robbie in Philippians chapter 1 with a message entitled, To Live is Christ.
When I'm at home and the TV's on or there's something that I'm looking at or reading, whatever it might be, and I'm focused on that one thing and my wife Jill tries to talk to me, I feel so bad sometimes, you know? And I realize that one of my sons for sure has inherited my inability to multitask, all right? You're talking to him, son, did you hear me? Son, did you hear me? One of those things, you know? But see, spiritually, that's so good. When you are so filled with hope, this is Paul, and you're looking here, you're looking, and all you see is this, all the crowd, all the noise, all the distractions, you don't even see that. They're all over here somewhere. Because you're so focused to live as Christ. You're like, is that possible? Uh-huh. Absolutely. It's a battle every day. Every day is a battle. You kind of figure it out this day, and you'll wake up and fight the battle the next day. But it is possible. We can live in such a way, man, our eyes are fixed and gaze on Jesus Christ. And we're filled with the courage to truly live. This is what Paul is saying right here. And notice what his hope does. See what's happening here? The prayers of God's people, the supply of God's Spirit, the hope and expectation of his deliverance. And all of a sudden, it goes, put that all in a blender, mix it up, and courage. Courage what? That whether I live or die, Christ will be honored in my body. Full courage. This is what happens. To live is Christ, is the courage to truly live in the face of life and death. Because this is what Christ does in us. This is the call right now for our lives. Too much of the church waning in apathy. This stuff just breaks right through it. Just blows it up like a spiritual hand grenade right in the middle. And it's beautiful. And what happens? And the world is seen for what it is. It is amazing to live as Christ, the courage to truly live. I was just reminded of the story of Stephen being stoned to death. I mean, it's such a remarkable, remarkable story. I'm telling my girls this a little bit this week too. And you think about it, he's being stoned to death and he looks up and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And the people around him are so mad. They grind their teeth at him, the text says. They rush out and they're literally killing him with stones. And he looks up and he sees the vision of Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. And he says to the Lord, he prays out and cries as he's literally dying. He says, do not hold this sin against them. Like, who does that? Who does that? Who has the courage when they're being stoned to death with rocks, crushing your skull? You look up at a vision of Jesus Christ and the people that are killing you say, God, do not hold this sin. What kind of courage is that? What is that to live as Christ? It's delivered. See what his focus is so on, literally on Jesus at that point, all the distractions around him are nothing, even to the point of stones being thrown at him that he might die. Whether in life or death, that I honor you, Lord Jesus Christ, with my body. Why? Because to live is Christ, and that means I have the courage to truly live. Possible? Yep, it is. It is. Get there in a day? Maybe. Not likely, bit by bit, bit by bit, bit by bit. live more for Christ, you know? Three steps forward, maybe two steps back, but then three steps forward, one step back. That's the call of the Christian life. God advancing us along the way and what he wants us to do. To live in Christ means I have the courage to truly live. Secondly, it's this. My heavenly reality results in earthly urgency. If I'm living as to live as Christ, my reality in heaven becomes my urgency on earth. So look at verse 21 now, okay? He says this, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Notice, for to me. So now the sequence of his thought, the continuation of what he's doing now, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We've got to stop here for a second, and this is our hub. So beautiful, so powerful. The secret to Paul's life here, his whole life is Christ, right? To live is Christ, meaning Christ is his delight, purpose, direction, power, his meaning, his foundation to live is Christ. Question, what is life to you and me? What is it? To Paul, to live is Christ. To live is blank. What would you fill that in with? Let's look at some suggestions here, okay? To live is in sincerity right now before the Lord. What would be your answer? Like with the affections of our heart, the time of our lives, the things that stress us out the most, the things that, you know, we spend money on, reveals a lot. Speaking of money, okay, so go to the next one. To live is, for so many people, this is their answer. It just is. For so many people, their life is defined by the pursuit of greater gain for what? You gotta keep that, for what? For so many people to live is money. Is that you or me right now? For some people, the next one's this. To live is, okay, you can insert your team, you're the Leafs. I don't think the Leafs too. Okay, then to live is the Habs, all right? Or whatever. It's amazing how much of our world surrounded by entertainment. To live is, and insert the idolatry necessary, and they're literally next one escape to the other, and they're living. I mean, just think about that for a second. For so many people, this is how their life is defined. They're just living for the next game. Get together, they have some drinks, they sit around with friends, they cheer, and then and they rise and fall based on whether or not their team wins. Because to live is, you know. A couple years ago, this was unthinkable, wasn't it? But now all of a sudden, it's like, well, hey man, you be careful, right? Well, the next one, to live is, okay, achievement, rewards, trophies, to live, you know, it's a Super Bowl trophy there, but the things that we, our highest objective, what are we going for? If I can just get to this point in life, and then to live is, this is my life. Next one, to live is family. Good, so good. But not if it's your idol. It's Christ residing over our family. What are we doing with our family? Are we leading them to Christ, whose life? Or are we leading them to the other things we just saw? Sports, entertainment, money, pursuit of whatever. Good. Not the greatest. Next one, to live is my career. A lot of people are in this too. This is my life. What happens when your career's done? What happens if you get sick, can't work anymore? What happens when you get fired? What happens when it just runs out? To live is, I mean, good, it's good, but it's not it. Many people, though, this is their whole life. Their whole life. I'm living for my spot. My purpose is my identity in my job. That's another one, I think, here. Oh, people, look at that. That looks nice, doesn't it? Looks nice. Probably like a little infinity pool there. Man, there's like no one there. It's pretty empty. I can sit down. I think there's a towel waiting for me and perfect sunny side. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes you look at this and, you know, the snow and the cold of winter, and you can look at this and you can be tempted to say, man, that's my answer right there. I could just get there. Yeah, that would just be like, even right now, some of you, stop looking. It's bad for you, okay? Yeah, guard your eyes, you know? But it's amazing how often, if I can just get there, then I'll live. What? It's a lie. A lie. A lot of people have gotten there. It hasn't worked out so great, right? Doesn't have to be bad, but not if it's the thing that we're living for, right? Leisure, pleasure. Last one, Is it? To live is appearance, to live is physique, to live is, look, the guy's bulging out of his head and stuff. He's working hard at that, man, right? It's amazing. If I can look a certain way, then I'm alive. The Bible says it profits little, right? It's not bad. If it is, it becomes our idolatry. Many people are living for the gym, living for their appearance, living for a persona, living for some right now. This is you, okay? Wake up. It's not wrong to be in good physical shape. It's wrong if we think this is our whole purpose and identity in life. And finally, again, Paul takes us to this, to live as Christ. He's the only one who can actually satisfy. He's the only one who is our fullness of life, to live as Christ, to live is Christ. Notice this, loved ones, in verse 21. Because Christ is life, that means to die is gain. Woo! To die is gain. Notice, to die is to actually be with Christ. So the ultimate goal of our entire existence is the hope of glory. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Look at how Paul unpacks this now in verse 22. He says, if I'm to live in the flesh, stay alive, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So notice, Paul's wrestling here of whether he wants to die or not. He's like, I want to die, but I don't want to die. I want to die, but maybe I should stick around. If he lives, then it's fruitful labor in the gospel. But if he dies, he departs and is with Christ. And notice right there, if you have any question of what happens when a believer dies, look at right here again, another verse. For to depart and to be with Christ. Loved ones who have passed from this life are immediately in the presence of Jesus Christ. He says that's far better. This whole sequence here is listening to a conversation that Paul is having with himself, kind of. He's like, should I die? Should I live? Which one's, you know, I kind of like both options. In fact, dying's better. It's amazing. Hey, did you ever do that? Like in a good way? Are you ever like kind of wrestling with, man, oh, if I die, I'd be with Jesus. Ever do that? I do that. I mean, we're singing that song, Bound for Glory, tonight, you know? All my pain, hurt, and shame gone when Jesus calls. Yes, please. Yes, thank you. That would be awesome. All pain, hurt, and shame gone when Jesus calls my name. In the presence of glory, not the inability to have a negative thought ever again. No pain, no sin, none of it. I mean, that's pretty good. And that's what Paul's saying. And it's good when we do this, loved ones, in a healthy biblical way. We're called to groan. We're groaning for what is to be our redemption, Romans 8. We are eagerly anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 22, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Those are all good things. Waiting for the redemption again of our bodies. Yes, Lord, please. And Paul's wrestling with this himself. But his conclusion in verse 24, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So I need to see this. I need us to see this with such great clarity. Kate, notice this, okay? Paul's heavenly reality results in an earthly urgency. The very fact he knows where he's going now results in a greater urgency for where he is on earth. You've heard me say this before, but my disdain for the phrase that those who are heavenly minded are of no earthly good. Try telling that to Paul, all right? I dare you to say that to Paul. In fact, try holding up that sentence in the face of the book of Philippians, not to mention the entire New Testament. His entire earthly urgency is a direct result of his heavenly reality. Could that be said about us? Ask yourself right now. Can that be said about me? My reality of heaven is pointing me to the urgency that I live here on earth. We must wake up to the reality of heaven to create in us an urgency again for Jesus Christ now. It's amazing what happens too, the clarity that comes and the encouragement that it brings. So this past weekend, I was in Las Vegas. I was preaching at Hope Church, Vance Pittman's church. He's been here a couple of times. My brother attends that church. It was very, very encouraging. So thankful to be able to be with them. It's so interesting. So I stay in a hotel there, and part of the hotel, there was a casino attached to it. Decent size. I don't know much about casinos, but we were there. And so we're in the Pacific time zone, and it's the first morning, and I'm going from Eastern time zone to Pacific. I wake up early on a normal day, and so I'm waking up very early in Pacific time zone, okay? So I'm wandering around the hotel a little bit, Jill's still sleeping in the room, and just trying to find a place to kind of seek the Lord, read the word, and the hotel we're staying in, they seem to have like this dance music that never turned off ever. And so I was just like, I went outside, but it's honestly, it was as cold there as it was here, okay? So it was like 2 degrees or something like that. So outside wasn't really an option. So I find myself walking into the casino part, which is open 24 hours, of course. And I knew they had like a Starbucks there that had no walls, like it was open, like the couches were there. So I go and I find myself and I sit down in the Starbucks. The casino's pretty empty, whatever. All the slot machines are there. They're all there. And I sit down and I put some, and they have music playing there, of course, as well, right? And so I grab a coffee, sit down with the word, and I put my earphones in and start listening to worship music and just begin to seek the Lord. And it's amazing. The Lord just met me so powerfully. I was there and just studying Psalm 51 at that time and just praying with the weekend and asking for God's help and just saw his beauty. And to the point I was sitting in the Starbucks kind of chair by myself with Bible open, my journal beside me, and I just, tears started running down my cheeks and so filled with worship and awe of Jesus Christ. And I was telling this to Louis, our music director, the story, and he's like, so you're sitting there crying in a casino, people walking by probably saying, that poor guy lost all that money. But I was there, and honestly, it was like one of those moments where like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 45 minutes, I didn't want it to end. And I was sitting there though in a moment of perspective where I'm looking out at the epitome of temporal earth, casino, slot machines. And there's some people there at 5 a.m. and they're gambling, whatever they're doing. And I'm sitting there and I'm overcome with the presence of God, overcome with the spirit and the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And in that moment, you're just, I'm in the casino experiencing the presence of God. First time in my life that ever happened, all right? And it was awesome. It was so awesome. It was the contrast to live as Christ. He's life. All these people wanting so much to find something if they could win. And you're sitting there like, I found it all because I've won with Jesus. This is what he does. I remember texting, just overwhelmed. I texted Jill and even a picture kind of the slot machines and where I was, my Bible open. She's like, wow, the Holy Spirit even moves in casinos. Yes. Yes, apparently he does. The eternal urgency we feel when we live for Christ. So to live as Christ means the courage to truly live. A heaven reality results in earthly urgency. And then thirdly, this is important, right, loved ones? I remain for the transformation of others. I remain for the transformation of others. Okay, so look at verse 25 now, okay? So watch this. So do you want to know if you're living for Christ? Look at Paul here. Convinced of this, I know. Okay, again, watch this. He's so sure. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue. Now again, he doesn't know exactly if he's going to live or die. We know that. But he knows again his usefulness for Christ and whatever happens. But he says this, that I will remain and continue with you all, watch, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Now, look at Paul's heart here. Look at this. He's like, okay, I want to go to heaven because that's way better. But what I know is I got to stay here because I got to care for you, which is more important right now than me being with Jesus Christ. And the reason I got to be here with you is to care for you. How? To see your progress, your advancement, and your joy in the faith. Because when that happens, then your lives give glory to Jesus Christ. Paul here is defining his life and ministry. I exist for the transformation of others. Now watch, Paul just defined our ministry too. We exist for the transformation of others that their lives might give glory to Jesus Christ. Love, and this is such a big deal. Do we see what it means to live for Christ? When I live for Christ, my life is impacting other people's lives for the progress of Jesus Christ. That word progress was also found in our text last week with Pastor Craig in advance the gospel. It's the same Greek word. The word carries the idea of moving through obstacles and pushing through resistance. Now, isn't that the Christian life, huh? Narrow, hard, difficult, involves suffering, anything but easy. And Paul says, I stay that you might advance through the obstacles, pushing through the resistance, fighting the good fight of the faith, and my life is to be used for that your life can see this progress and joy in your faith. That's the Christian life. This is what Paul was called to do. He knew it. I'm living for Christ. I'm here for your progress and your joy in the faith. Question: are we living with the same purpose? Often, you see what a big deal this is? You got to see this. If we're living for Christ, we are here on earth for the progress and joy of other people and their faith in Jesus Christ. What lives are we impacting for Jesus Christ right now? And don't just look at me up here and say, well, yeah, you do that. You're preacher boy up here, or whatever. You're supposed to. No. Every single person who is alive in Jesus Christ, your purpose is being described right now. Every single one of us are here and remaining here, not with Christ yet, for the transformation of others. No one gets a pass on this. No one. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Spoken to who? The church. If you're alive in Jesus Christ, that's you. So right now, ready? Clear the desk, man. Just throw away all the clutter right now. And look down at what's in front of you. Like look down what's in front of you. Everything else is gone. Say, this is my calling in life. I am called to make disciples. I am called to see others transformed by my life. You're like, Robbie, but I don't have a clue how to do this. No. You seek the Lord, man, little by little and big, whatever it is. This is what God does. We pray, we love, we exhort, we encourage. We see others advance. Paul's heart for discipleship here. He's like, I want to die and be with Christ, but right now the right thing for me to do is to stay, that you might advance and have joy in your faith, that you might give glory. Look what Paul says here. This is what he does, okay? This is his heart for discipleship. Notice how decided in mind he is. He's like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. How dependent in faith. He's like, I rely on the Lord, your prayers, the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'm devoted in heart for discipleship. Loved ones, we have to be decided in mind, dependent in faith, and devoted in heart. Again, here's the question down here. Here's the question. It's this. Can this be said about you and me right now? Can this be said about us right now? It needs to be said about who are you discipling? Parents, think about how this changes where you are right now. Working in Harvest Kids, bless you. The advancement of others in the faith. Our youth retreat right now. Dozens of workers up there pouring into the lives of youth for their advancement in the faith and their joy in Christ. Serving in the church, greeting, parking lot. Hospitality in a few moments with part of the pastors, small group leaders, on and on and on and on, leaders and just people loving one another. Here, I'm remaining here, not dead yet, for the transformation of others. But I need to say this right now, okay, as a pastoral word to our church right now too. Some of us right now aren't being used to see progress and joy, but we're being used to produce regress and grief in others. See, what do you mean? Envy. Envy doesn't progress people in the faith. It tries to hold them back and take them backwards. Who's fighting envy right now? Envy kills the momentum of the Spirit of God and transformation. Jealousy. Who's jealous right now? Jealousy between believers. It's so powerful, but it's so damaging and it's so useless that the enemy tries us to think otherwise. Self-promotion. Just constantly trying to get in front so that you can be seen, I can be seen. That's not advancing others in the faith. That's demoting others and trying to promote yourself. Bitterness right now. Where is there bitterness here? Bitterness is not helping others progress in the faith. You actually, in your bitterness, you want to see people be destroyed. Really? If you let it go to where it's going to go, and you see it for what it is. Gossip. Hate gossip. Hate it. A little whisper here, a little whisper there, taking people down bit by bit. Delicious morsels in your mouth, Proverbs says. poison to your soul, but the destruction of other gossip, gossip, gossip. Who are you talking about behind the rest? Stop it. Stop it. It's awful. Kills the church. The enemy cackles and laughs all the way home. Don't you see? It's the antithesis of what Paul's saying here. When we do these sins, we're hoping to see people be destroyed in their faith or at least greatly hindered. And think of how much that grieves the Lord. Think of how much that limits what God wants to do in our heart right now too. God forgive us, right? And he does, and he does, and he does. Just a quote here to end this thought right here. Envy and strife go together. Notice that envy and strife, they go together. Just as love and unity go together. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love and unity go together. Please, Lord, more of this and this in our church, less of this and this. Where there's envy, there's strife. Where there's love, there's unity. And this is what Paul says here. He says, if I live for Christ, I'm living for the transformation of others, making disciples of all nations. To live as Christ, to live as Christ, to live as Christ. Are we living as Christ? We are put here for the transformation of others. God, where can I be used right now within my life? Serve your church, love your church, give to your church. Because I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. Maybe it's lots to think about, lots to think about. God's word's awesome. Great time. A great time to pray. Let's do that. Let's pray. Just take a moment. There's no rush right now. There's just no rush. What has God said to you, and what do you need to say to God? What's your single greatest application to this passage right now? Father, I need to say to you, and what is it that you want to say? Jesus, forgive me for. And what is it that would follow in that sentence? Holy Spirit, I desire so much that you would do. What are you saying to him? Lord, to live as Christ, I want that to be me. Remember, if you failed, perfect. That's the whole point of the gospel. Remember too, loved ones, God will never ask from us what he's not willing to do in us. Remember that. It's called grace. And receive the grace right now. But what does God's grace do for us? It causes us to love him more. At least that's the point. And then to ask him for more. This is my desire, Lord, to honor you. All that's within me, God, I want to give you praise. Like I see here in Paul's life, God, would you do that in mine? Hey, what do you need to let go of? What bitterness, what jealousy have you just realized is so dumb? And instead, you want to truly live. Who do you need to disciple? Who is in your life that you can encourage and love to see their progress and joy in the faith? What an opportunity. This is life. Because Christ is life.
If you'd like to hear this message again, or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.